Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to my very first special edition of Your Partner in Success radio show. This is not something I've done before, and the only reason I'm doing it today is because Kim Castle, who is also known as the Million Dollar Brand Mentor to hundreds of entrepreneurs, has a special program that she has created, and I think is fabulous, and wanted to share it with you. It's the end of the year. We're all looking to either end our year with a bang or start a new year with a bang. Whatever it is that we want to do, this is just something that I really wanted to share with you. So let me give you a little bit of information about Kim. She has been on the show before, but let me just kind of reiterate, and then we'll jump on and speak with her and let her tell you what she's up to. Kim is the co-creator of Brand You, and she is often dubbed, the e-myth for the new generation of business. 7 years ago, Kim was just like many entrepreneurs out there, me included. She stepped away from the big-ticket payday in the corporate world, working alongside biggies like IBM, General Motors, Disney, and several others to try to make a name for herself supporting people like her and me, entrepreneurs. Kim was trying to figure out how to fully support her clients, find a way to be fully and creatively expressed, bring in a steady income revenue flow, and quickly learn how to structure and grow her own business all at the same time. Women do this. I don't know what it is, but women do this. So despite all of that, Kim has managed to crack the code, and with a $0 investment, this is important, with a $0 investment doubled her business every 6 months into millions, created a three-stage business development curriculum for creative entrepreneurs like me to surpass that success much, much faster. Some of Kim's clients doubled their business in 90 days. Some quadrupled in just 2 weeks. Some even found themselves on the Inc. 500 list. You know what that list is. It's the fastest growing companies in the United States. So how did she do it? Well, it all begins in the same place, a place that she wouldn't have guessed in a million years. And we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about strategies that she uses with her private brand clients to get them out of their own way and achieve results. And we're going to cover a lot of territory. So I'm a little bit breathless because I was trying to get that out. I have so many questions to ask Kim. Kim, thank you for being here today.
Oh, Denise, it is such a joy to be back here with you, and I'm honored to be your very first special edition.
You are. When I heard that you were up to, I went, oh, my goodness, I have to talk about this. We must talk. So
well,
I love
I'm
your work. I love what you do.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And, you know, you shared, you know, like all of the amazing things that I accomplished, and it's always kind of weird to hear it back. And but more importantly, it's the successes of the people that I support. And I'm really excited to share today kind of the back story that I've never really shared before. And so I'm honored to be able to share it in such a beautiful space.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you're able to be here with me today because I think what you have to share is so, so important, especially we all talk about the economy. We all talk about America's perceived downward spiral. It doesn't have to be that way. And people like you and people like me and people like clients and other people that I have the rare opportunity to speak with and work with, know good and well, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to accept that, you know, life is over as you knew it. Your paycheck is gone. And you're here to share some really important stuff, and I'm delighted.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's interesting how that energy of what's going on all around actually is not just going on all around us. It comes from what's going on inside of us. And there's this beautiful or not so beautiful dance between it, you know, that it kind of goes, you know, we pick up what's going on out in the world around us, and then it triggers what's going on inside that's been collected over our lifetimes, and it gets people caught. And I decided that it's time to do something, come out in a really big way and do something about it, because, as you said, it does not have to be that way. Not in a, oh, you know, close your eyes, kumbaya, you know, I hope it away, but in a very practical, science-backed process to do it. And that's really what I'd like to share with everybody.
No, I can't wait to see what you have to say. I know that one of the concepts that you have is that the real reason why we don't have the money in the business we want today is because we need to get honest and real about it. And what I'm going to do, honestly, Kim, is just step back and let you go. I may not even interrupt a whole lot with questions because I'm so fascinated with the whole process.
Sure.
So if you don't mind, just start talking. Just say what's on your mind.
Absolutely. I'd be
go
glad to. You know, you know, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people listening in have these dreams. You know, they're these dreams for their businesses, and they have a vision. And, you know, it's so amazing. Today we have so much access to resources and connection to each other, to customers, to, you know, manufacturing, to funding. I mean, it is all literally, the world is truly flat, as the book, you know, that came out years ago said. It is truly flat. So if all of this is at our fingertips, and we each have these amazing dreams to make something of our lives, to impact lives and to make lots of money, yet 90%, 98% of the people don't ever even get close. Now, why is that? And the reason is as you were just alluding to, in terms of, I'd like to start by sharing the real reason why you don't have the money in the business that you want today, despite this deep aching. Very often the people I work ache with this desire, and I'm sure you come across it too, this desire to go, well, how do I do this? And the reason you don't have it is because there's something in your way. Duh, right? It's not not rocket science. You have this desire, you have the resources, and you're not doing it. You don't have the results in your life that you want. So obviously something is in your way. And that's why it's easy to procrastinate, get confused. I often call this weeds. It's like there's these weeds in your way, these invisible blocks, and even if you can't see them, they're there. Mm-hmm. And what makes it challenging is because, one, you can't see them, so you can't put any shape to them. You can't. It's kind of hard to call it something because you can't see it. And what's also more, what's even more difficult, Denise, is very often those blocks aren't even yours. They're these energetic blocks that you've picked up along the way, and they become part of your foundational construct in terms of how you get by in the world, how you process things, how you, your mode of operating in the world. And it's how you deal with the world. And that's why it's no matter how much you want something, like a successful business, there's this voice inside of you saying, who the heck do you think you are? You don't know enough. You don't have enough. You can't do that. If you do that, people will find out something. Like all of those little voices that even if we've done work on ourselves, they're still there. And you can silence them. Go ahead.
I'm so glad you said that. I had a very long talk with my business coach this morning. And because I knew I was going to be speaking with you, this was exactly the topic that we were talking about. What stops you? Why are you stopping yourself? And when you know you're stopping yourself, why do you allow it to happen anyway?
Well, that's what this is. Because it's you can silence the voices. you know, for a while, but, you know, and as you experience, no matter how successful you become, it still happens. It comes back,
mm-hmm.
and often louder. It comes back louder and louder until you actually remove it the way it went in. Because honestly, it's energy. And I don't know if you remember anything about the first law of thermodynamics, is that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only change shape.
Right.
That's why.
So the energy is yours. You're in charge of your energy.
Absolutely. So the stuff that you
right.
picked up along the way may not be yours. Very often, a lot of it isn't. You weren't born with that. What you were born with is the processing, the processor. You know, how to respond to those things. That's natural. That's in our our biology. And so that's where I started to see all these, you know, amazing entrepreneurs that I've been working with for the last 20 years. I started to start working with them, and I'd go, well, here's the process to make $1 million. Go off, you know, millions of dollars with your brand. Go off, send me a thank you note. I'd be happy, you know, because that's what I'm on the planet to do. And we kept hitting these blocks. And I thought, huh. Now, and I'll share a little bit in a little bit about, you know, why I was uniquely able to not only see the blocks, but to do something about it. But what I did was I started to, like, wait a second, if I'm really going to help these people, you know, really make a change in the world, you know, through their business and in their lives, then I needed to address that piece, because no matter how much knowledge I gave them, no matter how many steps I put in their hands to go, step one, do this, step two, do this, this is how you build your brand, step three, this is how you bring it into the markets, and so on, I could show them the exact map to build their unique business. With the weeds in the way, with this energy block there, they would only ever accomplish a portion of it. Because the energy is being robbed in this other way. And that's what I said, you know what, it's time to do something about it. And it's time to share this piece that I've been sharing with our private Brand You members for the last several years. It's time to come out into the world in a big, big way, precisely for what you shared earlier on the call. Because what's going on the planet right now? It's not real.
Yeah, No, it's nasty, so we need to stop
it. But we've got to have a process in our fingertips, like a technology, like a computer. Step one, two, three, go take ourselves through these five, and I wrote it down to 5 steps that people can do in 10 minutes or less, bam, gone. And what I found, it's called the clearing the path process, and what I found is 95% of the people who experience clearing the path have shifted those blocks permanently within 10 minutes or less, and just doing it a couple times a week. And get this, over as you shared some of those results of people, you know, like shifts in their business. Yeah, mm-hmm. I gave them the actual business building steps, but they wouldn't have been able to get to those results that quickly without clearing the block. So over 55%, double, triple, within months. Some, like you shared, some people, like within weeks, because they completely
right.
remove the weeds.
Well, and I think that's it. So many times we just have to get out of our way, and that's just all there is to it.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing to say it. It's a whole
right.
other thing to do it. Because you can know it all along. You know, and you can conceive it. Your brain could say, yeah, I know that. But it's a whole other thing when you're caught in the energy field and the biology of it.
Right.
What do you do about that? And that's really why I went, okay, I've got to create a process so that people aren't at the mercy of what's going on. And, you know, and I'd like to also share that, you know, the reason that business most often feels challenging and difficult, and this is going to fly in the face of what most people have been taught, is that fear is real.
Well,
I
Kim, fear makes your body change, your physiology changes, your facial expressions change. I mean, you feel it in your heart, in your chest. sometimes in your fingertips,
yeah.
maybe a tingle. Fear is a very real thing, and fear can be, in the way I understand it, fear can be external or it can be internal, and either way, it's fear.
Well, it is, and it's amazing to me how, you know, like especially in the world of personal development and that kind of stuff, law of attraction, you know, all of those things where they go, oh, fear is false evidence of appearing real, you know, all that kind of like, all these
it's real.
Of, you know, dressings, and I go, wait a second, when I started to see this go on in my clients, I went, wait a second, this isn't just happening in one or two or... It's happening in every single person. And when I went, wait a second, fear is real. And I went and did a lot of research on the biology. It is actually a human biological function. And it was actually put in our beings because to save us. It tells us what to
right.
do when
fight
we come face to face with a bear. Yeah, fight or flight.
Right.
However,
right.
in our modern world, left on its own, there's something that's gotten out of whack. And the reason that was the big surprise for me, that fear was real, was I grew up in an environment that was less than ideal. You know,
I know.
I grew up in poverty, homelessness. I grew up with a single mom who had three little kids, and I was born, you know, she was like just barely a kid herself when she had me. And she was stuck in debilitating fear and indecision, which indecision really is a result of fear. And, you know, it's hard to survive in the world without the ability to make decisions. And at a very early age, I would watch her, and I was like, whoa, like, I started to go, well, how am I going to survive as a child? I needed to help guide this adult. So I became very mm-hmm. attuned to energy and what was she was experiencing. And the reason that the surprise that, like, fear is real was a surprise to me. So I saw that going on. And I started to get very attuned to the energy fields and being able to guide her through the blocks so she could, you know, make mom decisions and feed us, you know, things like that. But what I did was, like I said, that we end up taking on things even though we don't realize it. I, too, became afraid, only I started dealing it with a completely different way. I started pretending that it wasn't there. So I even put a face on my experience. So I didn't let anybody else know that I grew that of my condition. I mean, my entire life until now, I did not mm-hmm. tell anybody of the environment in which I grew up in. So in a sense, I was putting on a mask of fear.
Now, Kim, may I ask why you decided to just tell people how you grew up? That's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's vital right now. I made a decision that if I'm really going to help people clear through these blocks and get on with what you were put on this planet to do now, then I had to do the same. I couldn't just create processes and wear the mask and say, you know, I always say it's brand you, it's not brand me. You know,
right.
My goal on the planet is to really support other people. However, I realized that was fear. That was a mask. And I also think right now, here we are in this incredible shift on the planet, and like especially like in the world of social media where we connect, we're all craving transparency. We're craving for people to put down the hype. To put down the, and we're all becoming very attuned. We can feel it. We can feel when the hype is there, and we can also feel when they're hiding something. But we don't realize our role in receiving the transparency. We will never really get to that place that we're all craving until we're able to take off our own masks. And that mask, I call them the faces of fear. There's five of them that. Until we're able to take off those masks, know what face of fear we're wearing to cover it up, we will never get to that place of transparency and real, authentic connections. And that's why
I tend to agree with you. And I'm struggling with some of the same things myself. What do I share? What don't I? You know, what is just nobody's darn business but my own? Mm-hmm. You know, there are those. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to know. There are things about a lot of people I just don't need to know, don't want to know, would probably resent the hell out of it if I did know. But, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not arguing with you at all, but I think that being honest and about why you're trying to help people and how you're going to help people means that you must be honest with yourself, and clearly you have done that with yourself. You've gone behind the mask and you've stepped behind the curtain, so to speak, and you've had that chat with the wizard, so you know what you're doing.
Well, and I think also because, you know, when I was working with the entrepreneurs and I went, oh, my God, this is the exact same procrastination, indecision, confusion that I experienced growing up. And I thought,
right.
The universe uniquely prepared me to do something about this.
So you were able to go from a place of fear to a place of gratitude.
Absolutely. Well, and not right. not even just gratitude was, okay, so this was a skill set that I needed to do something about it. And the more I just kept wearing the mask, then the more I'm not really even walking my talk. I'm not applying it myself.
Right.
And I use this clearing the path process all the time. I mean, again, like we said a few minutes ago, fear is real. It's human. It's biological.
Oh, yeah.
What has to be done is not be at the mercy of it. You actually have to have a process so you can, just like brushing your teeth. You have a process every day. I got to keep my teeth clean, brush my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with this process. Oh, I feel this contraction. I feel this constriction. I feel this. Oh, brush my teeth or use the clearing the path process to shift it. Not just pretend it's not there, but actually change the energy.
I think once you get into the habit of pretending that something's not there, you know, kind of like a child said, yeah, we've all seen this. You see a little tiny child running through the living room naked, covering up their private parts, their girl parts, or their boy parts, and you can't see me naked. Well, we just saw your butt, but it's okay. But, you know, I think we all have that, you know, no matter how adult we are, you're running through the living room with your hands over your eyes, and you can't see me. Well, yeah, you can.
Yep.
We can see you. So one of my questions to you is, how do you identify, you mentioned five, the sphere archetypes. How do you identify those? And, you know, how are they sabotaging your ability to make amazing life choices?
Absolutely. Well, and the way that I came up with the archetypes, and I call them the five faces, because I kept getting these images of we're wearing these masks. And I went, okay, so what are the different ways that we've been taught over the many years to cope? I'm going to say cope, really, because these only were coping devices. What are the different ways over the years that we've been taught to cope with fear, since we haven't been given an effective process, an approach to actually do something positive with it? These are the coping mechanisms. So the first face that I discovered was really from, I call it the sit in it face. You sit in it. And this is really another, I affectionately call the sit and spin. Sit and spin in it. And this is where you're guided.
I have an image in my head.
Right. That you're guided to revisit the inciting incident over and over and over until you decide you're ready to move on. And now this is typically the psychological approach that encourages you to sit and spin in the emotion until you just get tired of it. And it takes a very long time, typically, and it gets very expensive. What is it? To work with a therapist, it's like $250, $300 an hour now. And their goal is to keep having you come back, you know, because they're scientists. They want to kind of get in, sit and spin with you. And the interesting part about sit and spin is there's a part of us deep inside of us Now, we wouldn't call it on the human level that, you know, we would never say, yeah, we want this on the human level. But at a deeper, like, soul level, when we come to this planet, we want a really juicy ride. Right?
Yes, we do.
As a human being, we are the ones that say this is a bad experience or good experience. So the trap with sit and spin or sit in it is it's hard to give up the drama, the emotion, because it's juicy. So that's
right.
One of the faces. Another face, I call it walk with it. You walk with it. This is more where you kind of acknowledge it's there. It's kind of like in that movie, A Beautiful Mind, when he ultimately had to start to go, well, yeah, there's these people in my mind. They're walking right next to me. I can't make them go away, but I'm just going to, like, they're there. I'm going to walk with them. I'll carry them around.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you spend the rest of your life getting to know the fear, know it inside and out. It's kind of more like the Buddhist approach. You know, like you're just like, I'm on the path of friend is my fear is my friend, and I'll get to know it inside and out. And that takes a long time as well, to a point where you can get okay with, like, it being your friend. Plus, the interesting thing about a trap with that one is that you could get lost in the exploration of fear itself and forget that you're trying to accomplish something, like your business.
Right. Right. Your marriage, your children, your home.
Your marriage, your children. You're like, ah. So that's not effective. Another one is attack it. You know, like, go, you know, like, eat it for breakfast. Like
right.
Coaches around the world use, you know, you're not afraid. Or, like, what was it in the movie, Few Good Men? You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Right?
Right.
What happens with that one is it sets you up. It's energy, right? So when you come at it that way, it sets you up to have that energy come back at you like that. Again, you're not getting rid of the fear. Another one is feel it and do it anyway, which, you know, a lot of people have heard in the book Susan Jeffers wrote in the 80s. The interesting thing about that phase is, like, you know, okay, so you admit the fear and you say, what the heck? And then what? You might
mm-hmm.
temporarily suppress the energy, the fear, and get through
mm-hmm.
what you needed to do in that moment. But it always comes back and hits you harder because you haven't, not only have you not transmuted or transformed the energy, you've actually given it, it's almost like you wound it up with a spring energetically. You suppressed it. And so it has to spring back. Again, until you actually get in, go into the thought, the thing that you captured growing up along the way that you picked up, and you pull it out at that thought, you pull it out at the root, you plant something else more powerful in its place that actually serves you where you're going, that is the only way to actually do something about it. And then the face that I wore, as I shared just a little bit, I call it denial. Deny it exists. Often people refer to this face as cancel. Have you ever had that, like, you've been taught, like, you have a thought, and then the next thing you go, why did I say that? That was so stupid. And you think, like, you could
right.
try to pretend you tried to pretend it wasn't there, but you didn't think it. And your brain
but
is laughing at you.
Right. Well, yeah,
like,
because the subconscious is not logical. Your subconscious knows exactly what's going on at all times.
Absolutely. And because this is a really fascinating thing. We have this incredible employee that we don't even realize that never asked for time off, never asked for vacation, and we gave it this job of a lifetime. It's called your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the only challenge with your brain is you can't fire it.
I've tried. I know.
Right? Right?
Just take a vacation. Leave me alone.
And so your brain has a big part to play in fear. And again, because it is the commander of your ship, you've got to get it to play along. You can't say, oh, that's stupid for thinking. It says, who do you think you're talking to?
Mm-hmm.
You put me in charge, remember? So with this process that I created in clearing the path, I have found a way to get the brain to marry with the heart. To connect, to go, okay, yeah, so this is what we were thinking, and this is where we take it. And it's that piece. It's interesting. It's that piece, Denise. I don't know if you've had any experience with like affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
I find that they don't really work. I think they're a nice, tidy idea, but I think until you change your mind, repeating this is just my thought, and I'm going to ask you what you think about it.
Sure.
For me, affirmations don't work, and the reason they don't work is because you're repeating somebody else's words, and you're just kind of badgering your mind. What works for me is changing my mind, identifying the thought that is giving me angst or heartburn or fear or irritability or whatever it is that's happening that I find negative. I identify that thought. I isolate that thought. I examine the thought, kind of like you say. I sit in it, spin in it, and go, all right, well, I am done with that one. And then I replace it with the thought that I am comfortable with. Is that, what do you think of that?
Well, that's similar. There's some pieces that I think that what I found in my work that needed to be put in place. Those are kind of some of the basics of the process, like in its rudimentary, but there's more finesse that I found that needed to happen in order for it to be permanent. But you're right. In terms of affirmations, and even if they're not somebody else's words, you know, a lot of people are taught to write them down themselves, like come up with what you want, and then you really, you know, you repeat it and blah, 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 blah. I found, and I'm a very positive person, probably too much so, as I said, in my face sphere, I became Glinda the Good Witch.
There's nothing wrong. I love that. Are you good witch or bad witch? I'm both.
I was very much
deal
a
with
good
it.
Witch. The world
I'm
is so pretty. And so when I found affirmations, it was like, oh my God, this is my one. And I would like write down these affirmations, and I could like write them down and hope them, and like just really like, yeah, this is what's going to happen, and this is what I want. And then there was like this gap, and then I was like, I would hold it up to my brain, literally the piece of paper up to my brain, and go, go in, go in, go in.
I love that.
I could never
image.
Get them to be anything more than a really powerful hope.
Right, right. A wish and a prayer.
And the reason is,
that's all it is.
Because your brain is in charge.
Right.
But there's a way to get your brain to play along, to think it's idea.
And this is what you're teaching in your new course? I mean, your new program?
In this process.
Now, I know you have a tremendous teleseminar going on. Do you mind telling our audience where they can find that so they can sign up? It's tonight, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I go into more of this. I go into more of the faces of fear. I go into more of the science. It's happening tonight. It's called Clear the Path and Plot Your Course to 2011. And it really is my gift, my offering at this time of year, to talk about what's going on, really, and why it's vital to shift these patterns going into 2011. And you can find out and join me on this call. It's happening tonight. If you go to www.clearpath2011.com.
And this is a free teleseminar.
Yeah, and that is a free teleseminar.
Right. I am signed up and ready to go. So I think we identified, Kim, four of the five faces of fear. Was there a fifth one?
Oh, let's see. I got spin it. We got walk with it. Attack it. Feel it and do it anyway. And deny. Deny it exists.
Okay.
So it's really important. Yeah, and so start, you know, very often we've been taught not to acknowledge fear, pretend it's not there because we haven't been given an effective approach to it. So very often, unless we're in the middle of, you know, the feeling of it, I always, what's that picture, the scream, you know, the guy that's melted, that German picture, like, unless you're in that feeling, you may not feel that you're afraid. And so it's awfully hard to remove it if it's invisible. Two, if you pretend it's not there. So what I start to do is use the faces to start being aware of your your method of coping.
Mm-hmm.
And then tonight on the call, we're actually going to go into some exercises into the process to actually start to actually do some of the process tonight on the call. So from now until the call tonight, again, go to clearpath2011.com. Start to just pay it. Just, I promise it won't be scary. It might feel scary at first because, like, oh, my God, I'm opening the cupboard.
Yeah.
Opening the messy closet. I promise you that I will give you a tool set to not only look inside that closet, but to clear it out and, like, I always call it weeds in the garden, to really address the weeds, clear it out, and go, wow, look at this amazing space that I have to plant, either it's in my business or my relationship or my family, because fear affects every part of our lives. But, yeah, I'll be doing that tonight. Okay. So until then, just start paying attention to the mask, the face, and see which one of these fives that you wear.
Absolutely. And I love this conversation because, like I said earlier, I had a very similar conversation with my business coach. And your business coach, I'm sure you have one or two or three. I have a couple. And, your business coach, for people like us who are entrepreneurs, we work from, our beautifully appointed home offices. In some ways, we're isolated because we're not, just kind of out there running around in traffic and, interacting with people in the break room. But we're not really, because we get to meet people like each other and have these, fabulous business coaches. But the business coaches, is almost kind of like your therapist. They're, the people or the person that you should be brutally honest with and peel back those layers and peel back, those fears so you can talk it over with somebody whose only intention in the world is to, number one, keep confidentiality, number two, help you. So you're right. I mean, there's some times that you have to just strip it all back and get really shine that white light on yourself, which is scary. It is scary, yeah. And it's something that we all need to do. And then we need to decide, do I share this? Or, maybe if I murdered somebody and buried them in the garden, don't want to share that. But, you have to really...
think about all the energy that's being trapped.
I know. Well, and the energy that it takes to hide things is just enormous. I mean, just to try to be something that you're not, that energy to me is just crippling.
Well, you want to know something else, and we're all becoming very, very attuned to this, whether we realize it or not, is...
You said that earlier. Hope. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. Okay, so hope. Okay, so when I say attuned to this, we can start to feel, I believe that there's a shift happening. There's a frequency change that it's actually activating. We have a huge sensory perception around us. How we're wired. And as, like, for example, okay, I'll give you an example. So I'm sure most people are on in social media. You can see, the posts that come through and stuff. Can't you start to tell when somebody says something and you could feel that it has a sense of hypery or hyperbole or a little bit that, like, it's a little
call
too
it what it
much
is. Baloney.
Yeah,
right.
Baloney. You could feel it. There's this energy, and you could go, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. And we've all been taught, in a sense, to put that on, put that jacket on, and because everybody else started doing it energetically, and it's made you start to realize that this idea of hope. Hope is heavy.
Yeah.
Hope initially is to get you off the ground. But if the work underneath hasn't been done or continue to be done to fill from within, that maintaining that air of liftoff is very heavy. And that's
right.
What I think what people have done is they started doing the work of maintaining the hope, which turned into hype. And we are all attuned to it. And
well,
that's another
kind of
reason why
car
I'm...
Sales. No, I'm sorry. It's kind of like that everybody, you always say, oh, God, he's a used car salesman. That is, you just assume that a used car salesman is lying to you, that he's got a greasy personality, that you can't trust him. I feel the same way about a lot of politicians, but you're right. And the way I put it is your spidey sense goes off. You just know if you're paying attention when you're being played or when somebody is just pulling your string and they're not authentic, which isn't a grossly overused word, but it's still a very pertinent word.
Totally. It's a total. If you looked up in the dictionary, authentic is a really good copy.
Right. Exactly. You know, and it's way overused and it's abused, but you know, you can tell my spidey sense goes off all the time. I mean, literally, I can feel little hairs raising on the top of my head, and it's not because my hair is very, very curly, and it tends to spring around, which it does. But when I'm faced with somebody that I know is pulling my chain, man, I get still, I get quiet, my spidey sense goes off, and my hair curls. People need to pay attention to that. Yeah.
We all are. I think to some degree how much you've started recognizing the mask for yourself is, and you've done the work, you know, started to go, oh, even I can see the edges here. This is where the edge of the mask is. You know, if you start to do some of that work, the more aware you are, you know. So, for example, some people in, let's say, again, going back into the social media space, we'll read the posts and they'll start to take in, wow, they're doing so great, oh my God, and then their own little fear will kick off and go, oh, I guess I'm not doing that well. Oh, shoot, how do I?
Yeah, or I can't do that.
Yeah,
she's doing better than me, so I can't compete and of that kind of stuff.
Use this
I love what you're saying about, you know, peeling back to the mask. And I'm going to ask you straight out, because when you say peeling back the mask, doesn't mean that you have to, this is my spin, this is my take on what you're saying, and you can, you know, correct me or tell me if I'm completely reading this wrong, but I think if I'm understanding what you're saying is that you need to sit down with yourself, myself, ourselves, and really peel back the mask. Why are you doing the things that you're doing? What is working for you? What is not working for you? What should you share? What should you not share? Let's face it, there are some things that are intensely personal and they don't need to be shared, but you do need to get really honest with yourself about them and why these things are driving you or why these things are stopping you. Is that what I'm hearing? Am I getting this correct?
I would say to some degree, but then again, you know, we're as entrepreneurs, you know, who has a lot of time to do that? You know what I mean? That could be stuck. That what you're talking about could take you down the line of the mass sit and spin it, because you could get so lost in all that exploration. What I find is there's a much easier way. Is to take off the mask, use the clearing the process. You know, identify the mask.
Your process, right?
Yeah, use clearing the path in terms of just. First, you know, acknowledge the weeds that are there. Let's start pulling out I call them the doozies. There's typically 7 or 12 doozies that are in there. Like these huge, you know, big, the ones that have real, real bigger charges in there.
Right.
There's dozens and thousands that have been, you know, collected and are growing unattended. But there's typically, I find, about 7 or 12 doozies. Go in, pull them out. You start using the process so that you can start clearing the weeds as they come up. I was just working with a client yesterday who had, you know, going through clearing the path, and she, you know, she goes, "Oh my God, I've got all these weeds. I'm afraid, like, I'll just get stuck being a weed killer. Like, I don't have time to do anything else." And I said, "Well, yeah, that could be that way, but that's not the way to use it. Take out the doozies." And then address the other ones when you need them. For example, she was getting ready to go to one of her investors, and one of her fears was, "I'm afraid people won't believe that I have the ability to blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Well, that's going to really affect you when you go get this money. So deal with that one fear, even though it may not be the doozy, deal with that one fear when you need it." So, for example,
because that's
the way that clearing the path is, it's this travel spiral bound workbook, so you can actually go right through the process. Do it in your car before you go into his office. Do that one fear. Take it through the process. Shift it so that when you walk in that office, the energy of you is shifted, and that's what they're going to pick up. And that is, so I'd say do that as you're going, rather than be all concerned about what are you going to share, what are you not going to share, what's interesting about this, when you start doing this on a regular basis, you will find you won't need to use information. A lot of times I find people use a lot of transparency and sharing a lot of stuff that may not necessarily be for anybody else because it's a form of manipulation.
And see, I think that's where I think you just hit spot on what I was trying to get at, and I didn't probably articulate it very well. There's a
I've been doing
a lot
this a while.
On Facebook. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was like, I know she's going to get it. I just need to kind of put something out there and let her figure out what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you know,
yeah.
I see a lot of stuff on Facebook, and I will unfriend people if I'm getting way too much personal stuff. I'm not interested. I don't need to know a lot of this. Some things, honestly, just are not meant to be shared outside of your inner circle. Facebook is not your inner circle to some degree. So I think that's really what my question is what do you share and what don't you share?
Right.
And I know you need to be really honest with yourself, but honestly, does anybody need to know that I have a scar on the back of my left leg? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think also the reason sometimes people share, so it's either shared on a manipulation or because it's there's some piece of them inside screaming to say, here I am over here, and they have not been able to do the work to take the mask off.
Right.
So it's like part of their spirit is saying, hey, I'm here, I'm trying to come out. So I wouldn't judge and I wouldn't spend too much
time. Should
I
appreciate that and just, you know?
No, I'd say... Do the work yourself. You know, like just
sometimes
like
I'm offended by it.
Yeah, and you can be. You can say, you know what? But I think more importantly is make decisions for yourself. And like you said, like they are doing that, you go, you know what? I don't like that energy. I will unfriend.
Yeah, go.
Not in a judgment standpoint. You could tell them they need this process. But
yeah,
say, you know,
I most often
I don't
just
want
go away.
Around me. Yeah.
But
I don't think you need to decide. Spend too much time deciding what people need to know. It'll happen naturally. As you decide your brand, and this is when we get into the building of the brand, you will start to define a set of rules for your brand, and you will know what you're supposed to, what you need to share in order to attract your tribe and what you don't.
Right.
But it's not
that. And I love that word, tribe. Yeah. And I really do understand what you're saying. So, Kim, I know that you have a 5-step process for shifting so many of the things that happen in our world, in our business world, in our personal lives. Because for you, me, for so many people that all of the people that I work with and most everybody in my personal life these days, our personal life tends to bleed into our professional life because we are entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurs don't leave everything at the door when we step from our bedroom or the kitchen into our office on the other side of the house. It comes with us. So we have to, these days, be very much a complete person. You know, we can't just get in the car, you know, wake up in the morning, brush our teeth, put on our nice business casual, get in the car, drive to work, have that persona, then come home and have another persona, which used to be fairly separate types of things. And these
it's
days,
not just
my perspective is we can't do that anymore. We just can't.
It's not just entrepreneurs. It's everybody. Somewhere along the way, we were taught business is business and personal is personal, and that's not true.
Right.
We are not personally anymore. In our businesses. And it never really was. I don't know where, you know, thousands, hundreds of years ago where we were taught, keep this over here, keep this over here. There is no separation.
Well,
and I think that separation is what caused some of the challenges in our business structure, why businesses are imploding. Things like Enron happened years ago, which was really started the tip of these things. I think it's that separation which caused these problems.
You know,
you're
I think you're
right.
You got to my question before I could even form it. I think that caused a little bit of schizophrenia in our lives. You know, nothing that is illegal or that we're going to be jailed for. But
sure.
I think it did cause, Yeah, you know, we're like, okay, I'm over here, you know, I'm going to behave like this with this group of people, and I can get home and just be really nasty to my husband because he's not business, it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying that I do that, but I've seen it happen, and you do treat different groups of people differently with that particular mindset. And I'm glad that we're shifting away from that mindset because, you know, everybody in your life is there for a reason. I mean, you're in my life for a reason. I'm learning something from you.
It's a joy to share.
Yeah, I know, and I love what I learned from you and from everybody that I have the great opportunity to interview. I mean, I come away from it for 15 minutes after I get off these calls. I'm like, whoa, that was so neat. And I make notes and I learn things from it. So thank you for being here if I haven't told you that.
I'm honored to be here.
Oh, thank you. One thing I do want to ask you, and I've heard you say this, is that you have one simple practical decision tool. What is that?
Yes, exactly. So, and I will go into this evening, again, on the call. So I don't want to give away the story at the end.
Right.
However, what I can share is one of the biggest things that I found you know, in my work was, and again, growing up, was the thing that prevented the action, you know, taking action, was the ability to make decisions. And what I find with entrepreneurs especially is how they start doubting their ability to make decisions. Because either they made a decision before and it wasn't right, or didn't turn out the way they expected. For example, let's say they decided to hire a coach or buy a product or whatever it was, and it let them down, or they brought on a business partner or something and it didn't work out, or they start to doubt their own decision process, their ability to decide, as opposed to really keeping it where, you know, it should. I could have been that it was the wrong business partner, or it could have been the wrong product at the wrong time. But what happens is, they start doubting their own decision process, and they don't realize that that automatically starts to reduce the amount of expediency and actually the ground. Like, let's say a garden, you start putting these boundaries that start getting smaller and smaller and smaller, then before you know it, you have little room to grow something. And so what I started to do seeing how fear, all the weeds were growing on top of that, a side effect was the inability to even trust your decisions. I went, okay, so I'm gonna create a process so that people can shift the fears. At the same time, I needed to come up with a tool for people to be able to make decisions.
Okay.
And as I shared that, and it's really fascinating, as I shared, you know, that everything is energy, your energy, the fears are energy. Here, I'm going to give you some homework, and I do hope you join me on the call tonight so that we can actually learn the tool. But what I'd like you to do is just, as Denise said, when you get off the call, you're kind of like for 15 minutes, you're kind of resonating at a different level, like because you just expanded with some new information and somebody else's energy, for example, mine on this call. So what I'd like you to do is, everyone, when you get off of this call today, just like take a moment. I just sense your arms, your hands, and just notice what's coming off around. There's like a little field around the edge of your body. Just kind of pay attention to that. And then tonight, I'm going to show you how you can actually use that field to make decisions.
Really?
It's very, very, I can't believe that we have not been given this tool our entire life. And one of my team members yesterday was saying, well, you know, what are you going to do with all this? And I said, but by the time I'm dead, I'm going to make sure that every little baby is implanted with this before I lose.
There's nothing better than a simple goal, you know?
Right.
I love
that. Just start paying attention to the, and please know that this is not woo-woo. This is not, this is quantum physics, you guys. That
well,
there is
no, I know
literally
it's not.
Heat coming off your body at about, probably depending on, you know, your level of mastery, it's usually about 2 to 3, maybe 4 inches. And just kind of, just turn your awareness to that. And I'm going
to
show
you tonight.
You're
going to teach us how to do that tonight?
Yep, yep. So that's going to be an extra bonus, a decision tool in terms of, so while you're working on clearing out the weeds, I'm going to also give you this tool to make decisions. And then I'm also going to give you an opportunity, and I'll give you guys all, since you know we're talking now, I'm going to give everybody an inside preview, is that I'm actually going to, there's going to be a way that you can work with me personally for free this month. So join the call, and it's only limited.
I'll be there.
I can only do so many people, so come and join me on the call tonight, and you can go to clearpath2011.com and
yeah,
sign
up. Yeah,
but
you love
me.
I can be one of those people, right?
Come and join. Yeah, absolutely.
Since you love me so much, I can be one of those first people?
Yes. Absolutely.
If I beg.
Because I'm your first special edition, I have to.
I will definitely be on that call.
And if you can't make it live, don't worry about it. Please sign up anyway. My team and I were just talking about it yesterday afternoon, that we've had like almost 2,000 people now sign up for it, that we're probably going to do an encore call, live call, and so join me tonight, sign up for tonight, and if for some reason you can't make it, don't worry, we are going to announce an encore call, and then we'll also give you the link to the recording, so do join me.
Excellent. I will definitely be there. It's already in my Outlook. You know, one thing I wanted to, I'll definitely be there. One thing I wanted to kind of comment on is, you know, you had said earlier that, you know, people, business people in particular, make these decisions. Oh, well, I bought this program, it didn't work. I had this coach, and it just didn't work. I think I have a simpler response to that, or a simpler attitude about that. You know, I have bought off-brand beans before. You know, I've gone to the grocery store and I didn't buy Campbell's soup. I bought some kind of store soup, and it was crumb. So did I buy it again? No. Did it change my life? Not so much. So I'm wondering if we could take these really kind of perceived large things that happen to us and say, well, it's just a can of beans. Don't do it again. Or is
that
too simple?
You know, that sounds great. Well, it sounds great in theory and simple, but you know what? People put so much, you know, when you buy a can of beans, you buy a can of beans and you know, hey, this is going to feed me for this moment and I'm going to burn up this energy and it's gone. But when people
buy products,
but it's not an
emotional decision.
Yeah, right. When people buy products or their, you know, or programs or support or, you know, in this example, there's a lot more riding on it. Like,
well,
their dreams.
Kim, do you think there's more riding on it because they've been sold that, because the copy was good, or because response to it was just so positive?
I think
because
it's
to me,
dual.
A can of beans is a can of beans.
I think it's dual. I think one is, they were sold, and people were, you know, a lot of times, I'd say for probably the last 50 years, techniques have been, you know, forms of manipulation. I mean, my background is advertising. I can't, you know, talk about manipulation. I remember in it going, oh my God, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
I remember
40 years or 50 years, 60 years, you know, thanks Leo Burnett, Godfather David Ogilvy of advertising, of manipulation, masters of manipulation. Mm-hmm. I think there is a piece of the manipulation that had gone in. So there's an energy field that, because you surpassed certain function or, you know, decision functions in a person, you went to these triggers that caused them to buy, there's a gap. So there is more pressure on that. But I think also, because rightly so, when somebody buys something to support them, by golly, their life is dependent on it. Their security, their expression, their fulfillment, their everything. So rightly, there is a piece that needs to, you know, that should be there. But mm-hmm. the problem is very often, and I don't get this. I when I stepped into this world of information and I was like Alice in Wonderland. I don't get why people don't really fully take responsibility and ownership for the products and programs they create to ensure that they actually help people, which right. is why less than 2% of the people that ever take on any of those things actually make any change in their business or their life, which it blows my brain, which is why everything that we do is broken down into process and we ensure results.
Well, and that's exactly what people need to know, that you are passionate about what you're doing, that you know what you're doing, and that you're there to help them on the back end. You're not just selling a product. Like there are a lot of info marketers out there, and some are big names, and I've followed them around for a long time.
I know.
Now I'm just like, oh, my goodness, what happened to you? But you don't do that, and, you know, you're very much in tune with what's going on with your people and how to help them because you're passionate about them, and we all appreciate that a great bit. So, Kim, tell me, we're running out of time here, and I don't want to keep you. I know you've got a busy, busy day. Tell us again where to sign up for that teleseminar tonight.
Sure. It's going to be about 75 minutes. It's at clearpath2011.com.
Okay, clearpath2011.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, listen, Kim, thank you so much for being with me here today. I really enjoyed this. I mean, it was my very first special call, and I'm glad that you were my first guest. You may be my last. I don't know. I don't do this often, as you can tell. So. But because I love your work and because I do believe in what you do, I wanted to, you know, make sure that I was able to help you some way. And hopefully this will drive some traffic to your call. And if not,
I
want to
help
there.
I know the right people are, you know, I'm blown away at all the people that are stepping up to be a part of this, and like yourself, to go, you know what, this is important right now. People need to know this, because honestly, it will help you help your people. Because I'm sure as a helper of, as a supporter of entrepreneurs and as a virtual assistant, the people that you help, you see them in fear. I mean, this will help much, so many people. So I know whoever is listening, whoever receives this, it's right for. And I, in the depths of my very deep heart, I do hope you'll join me because this literally changes lives.
Well, I think that you're going to have a lot of play on that thing tonight, but I can't wait to see what you have to hear because I have a ton of questions and I know you can answer them. Because it is part of the teleseminar tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be tuned in and going, okay, I know I asked her this question. And I know I didn't get the whole answer. There it is. So I'm really looking forward to it. But, Kim, thank you again for being here. And I've really enjoyed your company, as always, and your passion. And I know our audience enjoyed it just as much as I have. And I'm really looking forward to the teleseminar tonight. So good luck with that. I mean, best wishes all the way around.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're going to be there and all of you listening. I look forward to seeing you tonight.
I will. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. And the show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and the fabulous Kim Castle wishing you a wonderful day. And I will see you on Friday for my regular scheduled show. Thank you, Kim.